Are we all ready to start again? Hillary, we all set?
Yes, Chair Kelly and board members of the board, we have all of the presenters for item four as well as item five ready to go.
Perfect, thank you. All right, our next item up is item four, the 2022-24 board work plans discussion will be led by Kyle Abram. Kyle, over to you.
Great, thanks Chair Kelly. For the record, Kyle Abraham, acting state forester. And I forgot to mention this earlier, but Happy New Year. So item number four is the final topic today about sort of that forward-looking discussion between the board and the department. And we'll be talking about the board work plans for the next 2 years. The process is probably new for some of the board members. It's also new to many of the presenters, as we've got a number of folks, as you know, in interim roles within the department. But the process of developing these board work plans provides a number of advantages, which allows staff to more efficiently allocate time among the multiple demands and the capacity issues that we just heard about in the previous two topics. It also provides the public with a better idea of when to provide input on those items and helps organize the board's work so that it leads to specific decisions. And we'll be showing you the draft matrices for each of the divisions with those high priority topics, decision items, and places for board engagement. The steps that we've been working through to date include the planning retreat, where we discussed the work plan priorities. This meeting, the division chiefs and programs will provide an overview of the draft work plans, and then in March, the board will approve those two-year work plans. The following October is a chance to kind of revisit where we're at and potentially do a mid-course correction if needed, but really these work plans will guide the board and the department's work over the next 2 years. So with that, one thing I'd also like to mention based on a couple of the discussions previously is that we are also in the process of developing policy option packages. And one of those is around climate change. It's a little bit unfortunate with the timing to date that it's not able to be presented today, in terms of, you know, the big picture and the way the legislative concepts are shaping up, but that's something we can potentially look at in the future so that the board can look across the LEG concepts and the POPs and kind of see where the department is headed. So with that, we'll kind of go through in order of these work plans, starting with Danny Norlander, who will cover the emerging an overarching issues work plan and the climate change and carbon work plan.
Morning, I'm Danny Norlander, the forest, climate, carbon, and health analyst with the planning branch within the department. I'm gonna talk briefly about the overarching and emerging issues work plan, and then I'll follow that up with the climate change work plan itself. Take a break in the middle of those so that we can answer any questions that may come up. So we can go to the next slide. And one more. There we go. So as we've been talking about for a while now, the revision of the FPFO is kind of moving up to the front burner this year. And that's the predominant item in the emerging overarching issues work plan in the planning branch. So, as many of you know, the history of the FPFO dates back to about the late 1970s. It's been revised many times since then, most recent being in 2011, so about 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago now. And the intention of the FPFO is that it kind of sets out a 20-year plan for the board as a strategic plan, and that it get updated about every 8 years. So we're past due on that, and we're gonna take on that revision process now. starting in March, we're going to bring some information about the scope and the process to the board, and then we'll have a decision item in April for that. Just give about a month or a little bit more than a month to masticate on all of that, ruminate, and come back with a decision about how we're going to move forward. So a lot of the information for that is still to be determined, just based on what that scope looks like, what that process looks like. And just as a reminder, this is the board's strategic plan, so it will be working closely with the board to determine that. So this is less of a staff item, more of a board and staff item together moving forward. And then as we progress with that, looking at indicators within that framework, how we're going to assess where we are and how we're doing moving forward. So I'm happy to answer questions on that process, what that's looking like, and anything else moving forward. Probably the shortest work plan you'll see today. All right. So if there's no questions on that one, we'll go ahead and move on to the climate change work plan. This is the next slide. So the climate change work plan is actually its own standalone work plan that was developed about 2013 as its own standalone, as opposed to some of the other ones that are aligned with the different divisional structures. So we have five different topics under the climate change and carbon work plan this go around. The first one being tracking of the climate change and carbon adoption and progress. So following the board adoption and approval of that plan back in November, we're gonna bring subsequent kind of reports to the board in November, so annually, to kind of highlight how the department's doing with implementing that plan and how things are progressing. Purely as an informational item, and that can help to build on how that's going and inform the board about their decision-making and policy efforts further on. Topic B is creating a framework for climate change assessment. So this is to provide the department with a tool to be able to look at any decisions that they're making, whether that's rulemaking, policy development, policy changes, things of that sort, and have a way to assess that in a climate change mindset. Somewhat akin to what we do for a rule change through a 714 analysis with the FPA, though not in statute. So this is purely a department-led effort there. And then looking at the equity standpoint of climate change and an assessment of that. So there's a variety of statewide projects that are going on assessing equity and climate change and rules and policies. So we'll be tied in with that moving forward. Topic C is work that we're doing with American Forest. This is scenario modeling and carbon budget modeling. Moving forward, that's a process, a project that's been ongoing for a while now. It's one that's building off of work that's happened in the East Coast and in the upper Midwest, and also is taking place simultaneously with Cal Fire down in California to really look at the different carbon impacts of different management scenarios. So we'll be bringing that as a information item in mid-2023. Hopefully that program or that project will be done closer to the end of this year, early next year, as we move forward. Fourth is a continuation of the work that we're doing with the U.S. Forest Service Pacific Northwest Research Station and their forest carbon co-production efforts. So we're working with them on a variety of projects, including some GTR creation and on modeling and other stuff like that, really tied in with the FIA group there. And that also includes a revisit of our forest ecosystem carbon report in the near future after all of the plots have been measured in the state. So we'll be looking to bring that to the board when all that work is actually completed. And then topic E, so the fifth one is an estimation of the department's greenhouse gas footprint. We've had discussions about this a little bit in the past. So kind of modeled off of what the Fish and Wildlife Department did, having a third party kind of assess what the department's greenhouse gas footprint is. And that's going to be pretty broad, looking not just at facilities, but also, you know, what our fleet does, what the impacts of our forest management in the field are, and as broad a footprint as we can capture within that. That is the end of that work plan. So happy to answer any questions that board members or state forester may have. Carla, I see your hand up.
Yep, Danny, one question. I've heard a lot since the last board meeting regarding our math, our carbon math. And I think essential in this work plan as we start measuring things and putting metrics to things and trying to really understand if we're making progress is to be sure that we have agreement and alignment on the methodology for our baseline and measurements going forward. And I think in the last board meeting, you know, there was just a lot of concern about the department's math, internal math, on carbon on state lands. And I'm wondering if you can work with Cal and, you know, get some industry and public sector alignment and leadership applied to math that we can get broad consensus and agreement to, because we are not there. And so I'd hate to see a bunch of work unless we can agree on really where we're at and have a platform for understanding improvement going forward.
I think that's definitely, especially part of our FIA work. We're working to intensify our measurements on state forest lands, which will give us a better idea of what's there. But of course, that takes time to do all of that and to have remeasurements. We'll continue to work with state forests for sure, and work on ensuring that all of that is in as best alignment as we can get. And then Chandra, see your hand.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. I think there's a lot of really good work clearly that we're going to be moving forward. So this is great. But I've said this a couple times, but I am interested in seeing. Almost like seeing a sub work plan for the climate change and carbon plan, you know, because we got the plan here and really fleshed out enough to that level of detail that you could tell somebody how we're going to be implementing that right over the next year, over the next 2 years. And the next step seems to be we're going to get a report on the implementation of it. But I'm not really sure how, a little bit similar to Carla's point, but how we're talking process if we haven't really establish the work plan and what we're anticipating to do. And I'm looking at Senate Bill 62 work plan that, you know, involves a lot of different divisions, has timelines, has things we're going to do over this next year or two, that maybe provides a little bit of a model for us and how we could put forward a specific work plan for that plan. You know, how are each of the divisions planning to move their particular roles forward, and do we have timelines associated with anything? Do we have POPs that will help us with capacity for certain things? You know what I mean? To provide a little bit more of that clarity so that when we are checking in annually, we have an idea of what we said we'd do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'll defer to Kyle for some higher level coordination on that one. I know that there are some items that have made their ways into some of the other divisions' work plans, other branches' work plans, and then working with state forests, for example, on the FMP process and getting stuff into that. So some of that's taking place. Some of it's not necessarily reflected in the work plans, but it is ongoing. So, we'll have some more conversations about that, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's right. So thank you, Chandra, for that comment. You know, the Senate Bill 762 work plan was sort of a new process for us in terms of trying to capture that work across divisions because it's so broad. I think the climate change one is pretty similar. And we actually went back and forth a little bit in terms of how do we capture that over time so that it becomes more clear for the board, but we can certainly consider that, you know, over the next few months as we try to revise these in a equitable process.
Thank you, Kyle.
Okay. Hey, Chandra, one thing that I've noted each time you speak, there is some connection issues with your audio and video. So probably next time, even though we love seeing you, you should turn off your video when you speak. I see Brenda has her hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I'm Brenda McComb. For the record, I'll probably sound like a broken record here. To Carla's point about metrics, I can agree completely. I just encourage the department not to try to reinvent the wheel. The Forest Service Research Station has developed a carbon inventory and monitoring program in conjunction with OSU. So, you know, I think the groundwork is laid there. And Danny, I know you're working with some of those folks already. So it should be a pretty easy lift to coordinate with them. And to Chandra's point, you know, I think a bit more detail on what we can expect cross-divisionally relative to the carbon piece would be really helpful. So thank you, Kyle, for that. I appreciate the recognition and the future work on that.
Okay, other comments? I will, you know, also add on the state forests carbon issue. I don't think the board is at all ready to make any kind of conclusions around the data that that we've seen so far. And I have asked both Brenda and Joe, who I think are people who have a lot of experience at looking at this kind of data, to on behalf of the board, take a special deeper dive on this, and then report back to the board. Okay.
Yep. So thanks, Jim. I guess I'll move to Mr. Gasparini for the Senate Bill 762 work plan.
Perfect.
Right. Good morning. Board Chair Kelly, State Forester McMoto, and members of the board. For the record, my name is Derek Gasparini, Public Affairs Officer and Project Coordinator for the implementation of Senate Bill 762. I'm sure you're all familiar with Senate Bill 762, the omnibus wildfire bill from the 2021 legislative session. It brings new opportunities and new responsibilities for ODF and other state agencies. The board requested a work plan specifically focused on implementation of the bill's numerous actions for the agency and board that span across ODF's organizational structure. The Board of Forestry work plan on 762 begins on page 62 of your board packet. It's broken into three topics based on how the requirements align with ODF's divisions: fire protection, forest resources, and the planning branch. Protection Division's work plan is heavily focused on the administrative rules work required of the board. This work is also represented in the Protection Division's work plan. Draft rules will come to the board in March for approval to hold public hearings and finalize rules at the June board meeting to meet the statutory requirements of rules for the statewide wildfire risk map, and draft rules for the prescribed fire certified burn manager program in July of 2022. While the remainder of the Senate Bill 762 implementation plan does not require specific board action, there are informational items for the board to be apprised of the department's status on implementation activities of grant programs and development of a 20-year strategic plan. The first staff report within the work plan is included in this month's consent agenda and is on page 28 of your board packet. There's been some mention of the 762 implementation work plan already, so I'm happy to address any questions, and the department looks forward to the board's input on the draft work plan. Thank you.
Any questions, comments? Kyle?
All right, thanks, Derek. Next, we'll move to the Fire Protection Division work plan and Mr. Mike Shaw.
All right. Good morning, Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukamoto, members of the board. For the record, my name is Mike Shaw, and I currently serve as the Interim Chief of Fire Protection for the agency. I'm here before you today to present the draft Fire Protection Division work plan for 2224. And prior to getting into the work plan specific to protection, I did want to acknowledge the efforts done on the previous work plan that Derek Gasparini just presented regarding the Senate Bill 762 implementation. As Derek articulated, there are many elements in that plan that pertain to the Protection Division work that has already come in front of the board, and there is much still to come in the next couple of years. So appreciate those efforts. In addition to all the deliverables within Senate Bill 762 implementation, there are several items in the plan, the Protection Division plan, that require your attention on an annual, ongoing, or as needed basis. That said, some of the items need very timely action on your part and are directed by Oregon statute and are core to the Protection Division being able to implement our responsibilities. So I thank you for your continued efforts on these topics over the years and into the future. I'm not going to read each of the individual items, but a few of significance include the annual approval and review of Forest Protection District and rangeland protection budgets that occur in June, making appointments to the Emergency Fire Cost Committee as necessary, approving the formation of new rangeland protection associations as needed, and addressing potential appeals to forest patrol assessment for property owners who have been recently classified by a county forest land classification committee. In addition to these annual, ongoing, and as needed deliverables, there are two other items in the work plan to discuss today. The first is identified in the work plan as prevention program advancements. The division intends to initiate a comprehensive prevention program review with an intent to advance prevention programs to mitigate the catastrophic risk of wildfire. Given that over two-thirds of fires starting on ODF protected lands are human caused, the division expects a prevention program review to result in recommendations for OAR and ORS changes to be considered through the board. Keep in mind that this review is not intended to give the impression there's anything wrong with our prevention program. On the contrary, it is intended to look for any opportunities for improvement given the statistics I just stated on human caused fires. This is aligned with the continuous improvement mentality that the division utilizes in its work. The last item in the work plan to talk about today is the protection of BLM land in Western Oregon covered under the West Oregon Operating Plan. And you've heard that mentioned several times today by a variety of folks. The division anticipates potential changes to the protection system with BLM's interest to adjust fire protection under the West Oregon Operating Plan. The division anticipates potential changes to the system based on BLM's interest to adjust fire protection. And depending on these outcomes, the division may be seeking a POP for the 23-25 agency request budget to address adequate level of protection needs of Oregon's protection system. At this time, we do not know for certain what changes the BLM will be interested in. However, we do know that as many landowners, they are challenged by the costs of fire protection and are looking for avenues to reduce costs. We are currently working with the BLM to identify options and will be back in front of you as needed. So that concludes today's work plan discussion. Are there any questions?
Mike, I have one question. This is Carla Chambers. And I'm sorry we missed our meeting.
That's okay.
I look forward to it. I want to be sure that we build into this work plan. You know, you talked about the prevention program review, and I think all of us in industry and government understand the critical labor shortage that we're all dealing with. And I just want to be sure we've got a real spotlight on the capital labor and technology substitutions, and that you've looked at those three Scientific American articles that were just published late 21, and that we just really have our focus on new technologies. And if we can't get the people that are needed, what we're going to do about that? That is really front and center in this arena. So thank you.
Okay, appreciate that. And I did see that article and would love to have a conversation with you about that at some point.
Yeah, good.
So Mike, I would also like to just comment that I'm really glad to see the work in that you're intending to do with the prevention program. I think we're at an interesting point in time in history here where really all Oregonians at this point are being impacted by fire and smoke. And to me, that means there is opportunity in terms of our ability to reach the public, to use free media. It also, you know, the reality is with climate change, we simply can no longer during the height of fire season have that level of human caused fires. And so anyhow, excited to see you guys start working on that. Any other board comments on this topic? Otherwise, back to you, Kyle.
Thanks, Jim. And thanks, Mike, for that presentation. And we'll move to Forest Resources Division and Josh Bernard.
Great. Thanks, Kyle. Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Mukamoto. My name is Josh Bernard, and I'm the Interim Division Chief for the Forest Resources Division. What we'll do next is walk through the draft work plan for Forest Resources. As an opening note, we made a few changes to the work plan here with the private forest accord moving forward, and I'll talk about that a little bit more as we move down in the work plan. Start off with the Western Oregon Streamside Protections Review. That was originally a topic designed for the board in a sufficiency review of our desired future condition for our streams. With the private forest accord moving forward and those stream buffers is likely changing significantly, that has been moved to an informational item that we would like to bring to the board at a future update to wrap up staff work, and it may be useful information for adaptive management moving forward. Next item is the ODFDEQ sufficiency review alignment. The last step on that project there is to return to the board in July and provide an update on the implementation of the MOU that was reviewed in November. So that'll bring conclusion to both of those projects. Those are informational items. The next section in the work plan is Forest Practices Act Rule Policy Review. So topics there include specified resource site review for the Marble Merlet, Coho Salmon, and also a discussion on our overarching policy that guides the development of protections for specified resource sites. As you'll note on the work plan, and I believe it was noted during public comment earlier today, the specified resource site for the Marble Merlet, we have paused that work for the moment, waiting to see what unfolds from the private forest accord. Also, the Coho Salmon has also been paused with the private forest accord moving forward and the likely outcome of a habitat conservation plan for aquatic species. It will likely address that topic. For the Marble Merlet topic, it will not address that, and that will still remain a priority that we'll need to do conduct the rule analysis for as we have the capacity to do so. With the next section on the private forest accord, the placeholder that I've placed there is anticipation of the work coming forth that we expect to move forward in the February short session with the legislature. Have placed a placeholder there. Do not have legislation or any set milestones or work products specified for the board at this point, but based on some of the detail in the initial documents and what I've heard, expect a fairly significant workload over the next year and maybe beyond that. And then the next item is post-fire restoration and House Bill 5006. We've included that topic on here given the legislative direction and our post-fire recovery activities. We take a fair portion of our time. Informational updates will be included both you received one this morning as part of the consent agenda, and you will receive one next year in January. And then we've also included as an outcome of the climate and carbon plan is to develop a climate smart forestry award. That award, staff are beginning work on that now, and we'll be conducting some work with our standing committees, Committee for Family Forest Lands and Regional Forest Practice Committees, and then return to you all tentatively in November next fall to provide an overview of a draft and seek any feedback with the concept of being able to move forward with an award to that program sometime in 2024. We would begin advertising and soliciting recipients in January of 2023. Those are the primary work items. Kyle, if you go to the next page, it does provide, or I guess whoever's got control of the presentation, if they can go to the next slide. This page here shows our regular updates and items that go before the board, such as committee appointments. There are two new additions to this page. The anticipation of having a Climate Smart Forestry Award on an annual basis is depicted for January 2024 at this point. We may adjust that depending on the overlap with Operator of the Year and some of those pieces as we work through what that program will look like. And we've also added the Federal Forest Restoration Program annual updates to this segment of our work plan. So with that, take any questions you might have.
Yeah, Josh, this is Brenda McComb for the record. Just a couple of comments. First of all, thanks for the great overview. And given the private forest accord work, I know a lot is in flux. But I think the testimony that we heard earlier today regarding the marble murrelet planning was an important testimony, and I think it's we should try to find a way to begin to move forward on that one and try not to let that languish too much longer, if at all possible. And I understand there's a capacity issue here, but I'd encourage the department and your group to think about how to address that one. And then the other comment is relative to the Climate Smart Forestry Award, which I think is excellent. I think that's a great idea. It's a very positive step forward. But again, looking back at the climate change and carbon plan that Danny and company developed, what else is in there that is actionable, that you could take into your division and begin to begin to think about moving forward on private lands. So those are just two impressions based upon your presentation, but thanks again.
Great, thank you for that, Brenda. And on Sandra. Regarding, good.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say in regards to the murrelet topic, As we get more certainty around what the private forest accord entails, we can continue to monitor that and see when and if we have the capacity to engage in that project as well. Right now, this work plan's framed up without all the milestones and timelines that we'll need to achieve. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. But my understanding of the private forest accord is that it's aquatic focused, and so it's really not going to address the murrelet per se.
That is correct. That will remain on our list.
Thank you.
A topic we need to address.
Yeah, Josh, I think there really is, there's an issue. We obviously don't want to have your people working on doing a lot of work that ends up really not making any difference. At the same time, I think what Brenda is saying, and I'll agree with, is there is a real credibility issue with the public on these issues and certainly with Marble Murrelet. So I would second what she is saying. I think a total pause there it'd be challenging to defend. With that, I see that Chandra has.
Thank you, Chair. Hopefully you can hear me a little better with the video off, but I just wanted to to second or third the comment on the marble. I think we need to figure out a pathway there. And I, want to consider whether or not there is a possibility of a POP or some sort of budget arrangement that would add capacity, much like was suggested before. And I also want to understand if there is, what the liability is or potential for not moving forward. Are there, timelines in this review process. I haven't looked at that statute for a while to recall, but has that been considered also?
Thanks for that, Chandra. Specifically the timeline component, Chandra, there's not a timeline requirement per se, but we'll keep an eye on the liability component regarding the POP as well. I guess the comment I would add there is, a full policy option package process specific to the capacity on this one particular topic is a timeline that's a ways out there. The policy option packages we would consider for a future biennium. But definitely hear the interest in continuing to keep that moving forward. So thank you.
Thank you.
If no other comments, back to you, Kyle.
Yeah.
I see that Liz. Liz has got her hand up.
I did. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Kelly. Hello, Josh. Liz Agpowie here. Just listening to the thoughts about the Marburg and the capacity, I'm just wondering, as you work through and try to navigate all the priorities, I'm just thinking that you probably have strategies in other areas that can probably do, also address some of the issues with the Marburg murrelets, and that somehow considering those overlapping priorities, you can show movement forward. And I'm thinking everything from, those actions and management that build resiliency in the forest around nest trees, et cetera. So just a thought that just trying to overlap and sync many of your actions.
Thank you, Liz. Appreciate that. And I do think there will be some beneficial outcomes from, the movement forward on the private forest accord and some of the protections. Those are not directly for the marble murrelet, but they will result in further retention of trees on the landscape and those sorts of items as well. So appreciate that thought.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Let's then move to State Forest and Ms. Kate Skinner.
Thank you, Kyle. Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, and State Forester Mukamoto. For the record, I'm Kate Skinner. I'm in the interim State Forest Division Chief role. As you can see on our work plan, we have three large projects to cover, and they create the foundations for our future management of the state forest here. At the top of the first topic is the Habitat Conservation Plan. And the division has been working on the HCP for over 2 years and providing you with updates. A high-level update was last provided in November of last year, and our next milestone with the board is the draft environmental impact statement scheduled for release in late March, early April. At that time in May, we'll have a special session board meeting to review that draft EIS. And I've been describing the May meeting as more of a workshop format so we can do a deeper dive into what the draft EIS says. The May meeting will also be towards the end of the public comment period. And then we'll move into June, where it'll be a decision to move forward with the HCP after we have the summary of the NEPA process. The decision will provide direction to continue with the development of a final EIS. And a final HCP and board decision will come in April of 2023 for an incidental take permit. The next work is the forest management plan. And just as a reminder, division started the forest management plan writing in 2022, and it covers all of the lands of Western Oregon. Our first update of the plan was provided in November 21 as well, where we discussed the goals and some of the public input we had received. There are several sub-projects of the FMP, and the first is a discussion and decision later in your agenda today for the management focus of the lands. will return to the board meeting in March to share a large topic of public input. We'll cover the strategy development, and we will bring the performance measures. This is an opportunity for discussion and for your input at that time. September, we have another informational update to submit a complete draft FMP, Forest Management Plan, document to you and discuss the public engagement process. In November, the next step for the final is a final draft Forest Management Plan, and the board will be asked to provide us direction to start moving to a rulemaking process. The final decision for the Forest Management Plan is in May of 2023, and as you can see on the table, it's 1 month after a decision for a habitat conservation plan. Last topic on our work plan here is the Endangered Species Management Plan. If you recall, in June of 2021, Department of Fish and Wildlife uplisted the marble murrelet from threatened to endangered under the State Endangered Species Act. That decision triggered a statutory requirement for all state landowners and state land managers to develop an endangered species management plan for murrelets with a 2-year timeline to complete the work. The March meeting will be a decision on the plan content and framework and a direction to continue to move forward. July will be another informational check-in on that plan status. And then November 2022, the board will be asked for approval of the State Forest Endangered Species Management Plan. And then it will be sent to Fish and Wildlife Commission for a decision. So that covers all of the State Forest Management Plan work and all the linkages to the HCP and the Endangered Species Plan. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to cover those.
All right, thank you, Kate. I'm not seeing any. Are you seeing any, Jim?
Not that I can see.
I just have a comment. I think there's just a, this is probably the area I get the most phone calls on, and just a lot of questions to the economic impacts of this. And so can you remind us when we're going to hear back from NOAA Fisheries on the economic impacts associated with rural communities that we ask them for?
So that information will be coming to you as part of the draft EIS document and meeting in May, where we'll dig a lot deeper into that and the information the county's provided to them.
Okay. All right. This coming May.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kate. And then we'll move to Bill Herber with the administrative work plan.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Good morning, Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukamoto, members of the board. Once again, for the record, Bill Herber, Deputy Director for Administration. And there's our work plan. So unlike some of the other work plans that happen to fall within our distinct service delivery lines, the administrative work plan is much more than the department's administrative branch workload. This is especially true with the creation of the new planning branch. The administrative work plan focuses to provide leadership on management, on budget, policy, and planning development. It provides the board oversight on many administrative and operational areas of the department and ultimately looks to provide support to the Board of Forestry and the agency's operational programs through budget development and strategic planning. At the core of this particular work plan is a topic we just finished touching on, the state's biennial budgeting process. So within that context, we have extensive touch points for legislative development and updates, as Adam gave you a timeline for, budgeting development and review of the department's key performance measures, including the board's self-evaluation, which started in your consent agenda today. I did point out earlier that I would highlight the engagement points for the board regarding our agency request budget, and you can see that it started with today's meeting. We'll then review draft policy option packages in April. You'll finalize those POPs in June and ultimately approve the ARB in July. I will then return in January and July to give the board an update on our ARB as it is moved through the governor's budget and legislatively adopted budget process. Next slide, Jason. Thank you. The work plan also outlines a pattern for reporting to the board on areas within the department operations that carry significant risk, including finances, which you receive monthly reports on, human resources, facilities, and public affairs. Jason, if you could move back to the next slide. Sorry about that. There's a lot of on this work plan. Thank you. Of most note are some new areas within the administrative work plan. You'll see the addition of more engagement on the work plans themselves, including upcoming mid-course update touch points. These efforts will be conducted by Ryan Gordon, the new planning branch director, and his staff. Jason, one more time, next slide. Thanks. As you've noticed from previous board meetings, we have had regular occurrences of MGO updates. Also included within that section are placeholders for the budget's or the board's future work on MGO recommendations, specifically focused on board oversight. Those are those to be determined down on the chart. Both of these will be discussed at length during agenda item 9 later today, so I won't go into details on those. The final new section within the administrative work plan is at the bottom there in the emergency fire financial administration work items. These are not new in the context of the agency work, but they are new to the administrative work plan and are as a result of a recent organizational change made during the course of implementing one of the MGO recommendations. Through that work, the staff that supported the Emergency Fire Cost Committee, which previously were stationed in the Fire Protection Division, were moved under the administrative branch. As before, you'll be hearing a little more about this later in the MGO topic. The primary purpose with this work is to support the administration and membership of your Emergency Fire Cost Committee. Finally, within that area, the last item we provided a significant placeholder for the very important work Cal mentioned this morning, and that's finding a robust financial fix for how the state of Oregon funds its wildfire suppression efforts. This was left as a wide open placeholder, denoting the many ways the work could manifest in front of the board through legislative concepts, policy option packages, or other venues or mechanisms. And that's all I have for the administrative work plan. We'll happy to take questions.
Bill, I've got, this is Carla Chambers, two questions. I want to be sure that the board is fully aware, you know, depending on how the legislative process goes and, you know, big fire funding, that we are fully up to date on how the HCP would impact the financial viability of state lands, where that's a self-funded division. So if the HCP was voted on and approved, what would be the financial impact and to that division? The second part of that is state lands funds a significant portion of these large fire costs on the upfront, you know, on the front end of these biennial years. And I want to be sure that the board is fully aware of the financial impact associated with financing the fire the way we finance it today. And so I want to be sure that's part of your work plan to educate the board on the HCP as it relates to those financial impacts.
Thank you, Carla. I do have that noted, and you are exactly right. That balance of the Forest Development Fund is significant in our ability to manage cash flow through fire seasons, and it's tapped extensively and is factored in. Thank you.
Chair Kelly, okay, could I just follow up briefly?
Please do.
Yeah, thanks. Carla, that's a great point. And so it raises another question then. wouldn't resolving that issue be a part of the large fire plan going forward, Bill?
Yes, Brenda, exactly right. The model right now is to rely on our other fund balance of the FDF fund to accommodate that. It is a statewide model that's used in other agencies, but certainly that has to be part of the discussion, that we can't bear the costs on the back of those funds or our internal resources, because then they do also have negative effects on our ability to implement core functions. So it does have to be part of the discussion. As we've noted, the discussion of an emergency large fire funding fix is a broad topic. The FDF fund, the BLM, there's a lot, the state fire marshal, there's a lot of components to it, and we are looking at it holistically.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. This is Cal Mukamoto, State Forest. I just wanted to add to Bill's comments that we need to find a fix without relying on those resources because, you know, I was telling Bill this week that, boy, are we sure lucky we had a good log market. And if we didn't have a good log market, we might have had a shirt. We might be facing a shortfall in cash. So those markets are vacillate and fires are pretty consistent. So we need to find a mitigation for that that doesn't rely on those funds. So,
you know, I'd like to make add to what Carla is saying around the state forests. I think, you know, whatever we will be looking at in terms of projections, whatever the best job the department can do, it's going to be far from perfect. And I think we need to be not just thinking about the HCP as a standalone, but I think we also need to be looking at the alternative. And again, that'll be very imperfect, but you know, we're currently in a process of take avoidance and part of what motivated the HCP is the thought that take avoidance could year after year deplete the lands available for harvest and so on as we see more problems with species coming forward. So I think we need to look at it both sides when we try to at our best efforts to look at what's the economic impact of the HCP. We also need to look at as best we can the economic impact of no HCP.
Now this Cal again, State Forester, right? I want to agree with you totally, Jim. And I don't want to the economic gains that we've able to have or economic returns from the state forest management are very important to this organization. And so we need to be looking at all of that, including the HCP, protection of species and economics. So thank you.
Okay. Any Jim, other colleagues?
Additional comment.
Yeah, you go ahead, Amanda. Go ahead.
You know, it's pretty well known what the time frame is between economic recessions in the U.S. And it's not a, you know, we will have another one. That's there's no question about that. So our forever, you know, increased funding model, all I want to be sure is that we are super heads up on where we are and not where we hope to be. And where we are is a very reliant funding model on state lands funding these big fires, funding state lands, that division in total, and support to these rural communities. And Cal's right, you know, we've had a good log market and a very good economy. So when we don't have those things, I just want to be sure we know where we're at. And that's very different than maybe where we hope to be. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments? If not, we'll turn it over back to Kyle.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Bill, for that presentation. So just a reminder about next steps. So these are draft work plans. The divisions and programs will take back the information discussion provided here and submit the final work plans for approval in March on the consent agenda. And I imagine there'll be some conversation with you all and the division chiefs and others about some of the comments that were mentioned. So that basically concludes the work plans and the presentations from staff. You know, this is an opportunity for the board to further discuss anything that may be of interest or that came to mind over the course of those presentations. We still have a little bit of time left.
Yeah, Yeah, if there's any other comments, we are actually, believe it or not, I believe, unless I'm making a mistake here, ahead of schedule. And if there's anything else, now it's time to bring it up with Kyle or any of the presenters. And otherwise, Hillary, are we going to be ready to move on to our next topic otherwise?
Jim, this is Brenda McComb. I just have a quick comment. It's been brought up several times already, but I would just look for every opportunity. And I know that this is happening at the executive team level for work to be coordinated among the different divisions. And especially when we think about climate, the climate plan and how that can be integrated across divisions. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anybody else? In that case, thank you, Kyle, and all presenters. Not hearing anything from Hillary, I am assuming that we are we can move ahead of schedule to our next topic.